I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast.
Speaker Nation, what's happening? Victor Ahipeni here again with another awesome episode of the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast. Well, I shouldn't say it's awesome yet because you haven't heard anything, but I know this is going to be a huge value if you're a business owner, if you're looking to build your brand, and in particular, if you're looking to connect with the right people and build relationships to build up your speaking opportunities or your business opportunities to speak in front of different businesses. Because we have got Tyrone Giuliani, or Ty the LinkedIn guy, and he is an absolute master who's been in the trenches, gone through the wars. He is based in Japan. He's had 14 years building businesses throughout LinkedIn now. And what he does is helps people like you and I to not be that spammy, annoying person on LinkedIn, and instead build meaningful relationships and generate business off the back end of it. So without any more of that, I'll welcome Tyrone to the show. Welcome, mate.
Hey, Victor. Good to be here. Excellent. Nice intro. It's so true. You don't want to be the spammy, salesy guy on LinkedIn.
For everyone who, I mean, I know, I find it still amazing. Like, it's such a huge platform, LinkedIn. And so many people still don't understand it at all. They don't, you know, they understand Facebook because they see it. To a degree, they understand what the ads are on Facebook and Instagram and things like that because it's such a commonality. But so many people obligatorily set up a LinkedIn profile. And they just have it there and it's set and forget, and they, you know, just go, oh, well, I ticked that one off the list. So could you first off tell us what you believe LinkedIn is best used for and best use? And then we'll kind of delve into a couple of things from there.
Right. So, you know, LinkedIn was set up with that idea that it was going to be this job platform where you can look for a job, you can put your credentials out there, and people will find you and offer you a job. And it was meant to be this massive game changer of the recruiting world and things like that. Well, it did change it in the fact that it made it easier for recruiters to actually make more money because it put everyone in one spot. But what I quickly realized when I first saw it, and I saw it in April 2004 and joined straight away as soon as I saw it. So I was in the first less than, you know, 500,000 users. And what I quickly realized was that everyone was using it that way, which is great. Everyone was using it as a resume. And what does everyone do with a resume? They put all their information, they put all this detail, where they went to uni, you know, what their hobbies were, their link to their Twitter, websites, where they work. They've put so much information there. And for someone that wants to use it as a sales tool, I quickly realized there's so much there that I can use to form, you know, use different principles of influence to get people to speak to me and to get people to pay attention. And, you know, unity being a big one, of course, you know, people like to, you know, form little groups, and people like to, there has to be some kind of connection that is made, and that helps, you know, a dialogue with people. And I realized, man, there's so much information about these people. It's just this plethora of detail and data. And why aren't we using it to actually go out and reach out to people and tap on the shoulder? Now, LinkedIn was set up in a way where they're a bit bipolar in the sense that it says you're only meant to connect with people that you know. That's yeah. First. That's their policy. And then they have these little quirks inside the platform where sometimes you turn it on and it will say, hey, we've checked your contact list. There's 1,400 people you can send an invite to. It's like, well, I don't know them. They're just on my contact list somehow through the years. So that's always, you know, mismatch of what they say, the platform and the rules and how people use it and how they encourage you to use it as well. So I thought, well, stuff it. I'm not going to follow the rules of LinkedIn. Who made these rules? Why do I have to have a resume on LinkedIn? Because what's a resume for? A resume is for getting a job. I want to use it to get clients. So if I put a resume on LinkedIn and then try to go get clients, you know, about 10% of people's resume talks about the now. 90% is about what you've done in the past. And it's all about you. I did this. I did that. No one cares. When I'm approaching a client, they don't care about that. They want to know, what do you do? How do you do it for me? What do you solve for me? What are the problems? Do you understand me as a business owner? Do you understand that bleeding neck problem that I have? And what I quickly realized was I'm going to use LinkedIn as a hosting site. They are just going to be the host of my website. And I'm going to construct as close as possible, and this is what I coach to my clients, to put basically a website up on LinkedIn instead, where we use the experience sections differently. We use them as like the pages of your website, like the services. If you're offering 3 or 4 services, why not use those experience sections to talk about those services and have the profile 90% about the now and about them? So, you know, I was like, this is crazy. I'm not going to use it as a resume. It's like, you know, bring a knife to a gunfight. It's the wrong tool. And the great thing is 99% of people are still using it like a resume. So when I go out to reach out to people, I've got so much data I can look at, and I can approach them with meaningful conversation. And we'll talk about that next, I'm sure, about the messaging and connection, because people stuff that up on LinkedIn all the time. So for me, I think it's the ultimate B2B platform. If you are selling a B2B service or product to other businesses, then that's how you should be using it, especially if you're an entrepreneur, not as a job-seeking, you know, tool, unless you work for someone and you're looking for a job. But if you're not looking for a job, don't have a resume on there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I think. I mean, that's an awesome point. I know when I in the past, when I've changed mine up, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, leading with what value you offer people rather than I'm a public speaking trainer. It's like, yeah, I help you share your message to a larger audience and have a bigger impact. Say, yeah, well, I have no idea what mine says right now, but yeah, it'd say something like that, leading with the value proposition that the person reading it's going to get, rather than the stroke my ego, this is what I do, is in that side. And I think, you know, yeah, it's the first time I've heard that analogy of like looking at what your website is, because I mean, even though people still get that wrong massively and they start right. talking about themselves, but the good, like you say, the good websites, they're leading with the value proposition and the promise that they're going to give. And then they have these experiences and testimonials and things like that, where, and those are the sites that you're going to stay on, that they're going to take you on a journey exactly. and that exactly. experience. So when it comes to, I guess, the biggest mistakes from, I mean, you've covered some already when it comes to setting up somebody's profile. Mm. And then once you've got your profile set up, that kind of outreach and connection. Yeah, I know a lot of people try and propose on the first date. So what are the kind of things that you tend to see there as the biggest mistakes that a lot of the listeners are probably right. making?
Right. So it really starts with understanding of who your ideal client avatar is, who's the persona you're going after, because LinkedIn's not going to be great for all of them. Like LinkedIn as a channel is going to be possibly, you know, great for certain avatars that you want to go after and not great for others. So the first thing is you've got to understand, are your people there and are they active? And therefore, that's who you're going to frame your profile for. So maybe you have 4 different types of business services, but 3 of them are great for LinkedIn and 1 just isn't. Maybe, you know, you work the dentist market. Maybe you're a speaker for the dentist. Well, there's 84,000 dentists on LinkedIn in the USA, yeah. but only about 680 have posted anything on LinkedIn in the last month.
Yeah, okay.
So to go in there and hammer away looking for dentists that are actually there, 99.73% of the people you contact, they're not even there using it. So first of all, people chase the wrong people all the time on LinkedIn, and they wonder why, oh, LinkedIn sucks, no one gets back to me. because you've sent 100 messages or connection requests and 99.7% of them, they're not going to come on during that month and post anything and participate. So first of all, you've got to make sure that your target audience is there and then they're active. That's the first thing. And there's tools inside that allow you to do that automatically and filter and spotlight for that. So that's the first thing. Get your avatar locked down and make sure they're actually there and playing in there and doing it, because they're the most conducive to doing business online. You know, it's not just that they have an account, but they go in, they use it, they post things. Everything about that LinkedIn user makes them the most conducive person, you know, to doing business. Mm. And it gets you as close to a revenue event as fast as possible. Now, it's not to say that those dead and dormant accounts, you know, people aren't coming on and looking, they're just not doing anything. They may be, but the predictability just goes out the window when you start chasing non-active people.
It's that 80-20 rule, like, yeah.
Big time. Okay. But in this case, 99.3.
Yeah. And, that's it, like, you know, yeah, if you're trying to spending time reaching out to people, what's your chances of the person who's got an up-to-date LinkedIn profile being active on it and you being able to have a conversation versus the person who's got a grayscaled picture of themselves and their name? Yeah, like you say, they might go on it, but they also might go on it once a month and that conversation drags out. You both forget who each other are, and
it's horrible.
Yeah,
so that's the first thing. The second thing, have your profile then speak to those particular avatars. Don't try to be everything to everyone, just be something really cool to a small group of people, right? So it really, really talks to that, to your particular ideal client avatar. And then that's going to help you on your outreach. And this is where people stuff up all the time. And I see so much rubbish on LinkedIn is the connection and messaging strategies that people employ are horrid. Mm. You know, if you have your ideal client avatar locked down, you have your profile locked down, then you should only go and speak to those people that your profile speaks to, right? Yeah. It will increase the conversions massively. But the thing is, what I see on LinkedIn, there's three type of messages that I see that are just horrible and are just used over and over again. And just avoid these. It's like the first one is that, hey, let's connect for mutual benefit. Mm. Oh, there's no mutual benefit. Nothing. Like, because then you never get back to me after you connect anyway, or you just, I know what's coming next. Yeah. So the next one is like, it's in between the first and third type of message. It's this, hey, you know, I'm a LinkedIn sales guy and I help people get leads off LinkedIn. You know, here's my bio. Call me or email me if you want to talk.
Mm.
It's so vanilla. You know, I like vanilla, but that's just, it's so, there's nothing there. And the third one is what I call the value vomit. And this is, you know, because marketers have done this great job of telling everyone, you've got to give all this value up front, value,
before you ask for anything.
And people have lost the plot, because what you get in LinkedIn is these messages that says, hi, I'm Ty the LinkedIn guy. I've been, you know, using LinkedIn for 15 years and I've made, with my firm and me, have done over $22 million in fees. Here's a video to download about the 10 biggest mistakes. Here's a PDF download and here's a scheduler. Book a 15-minute call with me. We'll find out what's working with your LinkedIn, what's not working. Like, they say, wow, I gave value. It's not value unless I asked for it.
Yeah.
It's not value unless I know you have that particular problem. And the only way you're going to know that is if you ask me.
Mm.
Right? And you can make certain assumptions, but as your first, and the way to really think about it, this is why people stuff up on LinkedIn all the time, is because they are not using real life communication skills. Mm. For some reason, they just go berserk on LinkedIn, and then they wonder, well, why aren't people responding? Why are people just saying thanks and it goes nowhere? And I like to liken it like this. Imagine you're at a networking event. Okay, you're walking this networking event, everyone's in suits. If you're in Japan, everyone's in black suits, white shirts. But you walk into this networking event, everyone's in suits or whatever, and there's this one guy with this neon pink suit on and a neon pink top hat. And you walk up to him. What would you say to that guy? What would be the first thing you'd say, Victor? What would you say?
Yeah, I like this. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess I reckon to break the ice to him, you'd be commenting on his suit, surely. You'd say,
right. Jesus. You'd be like, where the hell did you get that? Or,
yeah.
What made you wear that today? Now, that's an obvious way that you would communicate in real life.
Mm.
Now, you've got to see profiles are like that pink suit. They have all the information there. Why would I walk up to that pink suit guy and say, nice to meet you. I'm a LinkedIn trainer.
Mm.
Here's a PDF. Here's a brochure about my company. No, I've ignored this pink neon suit. And it's the same thing on LinkedIn. You're ignoring their website, their Twitter feed, their status updates, their articles, their profile, their university, everything about them you've just ignored.
Mm.
So, and you've got to think, how do we communicate when we meet someone? It's either observation, question, statement. It's brief sentences, statement, back and forth answers. And then they get longer as, you know, the questions and the answers get longer as you communicate a little bit further with that person and you build that rapport. People just avoid that on LinkedIn for some reason.
Mm.
So there's no magic pill and magic bullet to this. You already know how to communicate. What you've got to do is think about, okay, really break that structure down, how you meet someone for the first time and bring it into LinkedIn and get a little bit savvy with it. But that's how you should be thinking about your communication with people. And if you wouldn't do it to someone in the real life, just don't do it in LinkedIn.
Yeah. It's funny you say the networking event. I was at one a couple of years ago. I still remember it. This dude, it must have got a text message or a phone call. I can't remember. And he had to get up and leave this event. It was some multi-speaker event. And I hadn't talked to him. He was sitting next to me. And it was quite early on. He stood up and he's like, picking up his bag and stuff, grabbed out his card out of his pocket and just gave it to me and walked off. I was like, thanks. I don't know you. I don't like you. I don't trust you at the moment. And you've just given me a card. You should have saved. Right. You should have saved your 3 cents and kept it in your pocket. But
and I mean, that's what you're doing. That's what they're doing. And that's what 99% of people are doing on LinkedIn. Mm. They're walking out the room and chucking you the card.
Yeah.
Call me.
And it's funny because, I mean, I think there's some really awesome lessons. It's so, like what you're giving is ideal for LinkedIn, but I'm like, when you're saying it, I'm just cracking up thinking about, yeah, Facebook groups. Someone asks a question and then someone goes, feel free to PM me. And they're looking for a service. Like, the person is not going to go when they've got 10 people that they're going to message. They're not going to PM you. You have to, you send a LinkedIn message. Feel free to get back to me if you've got nothing else on your plate because no one else in this world is busy. You've got to, it's crafting something that's in a conversation. So, you know, people are inherently lazy. They're not going to take initiative by themselves when there's no, like you say, value. There's no proposition to make that it's going to make their life better by messaging you when they haven't when they haven't met you. And
And it has to go through a syntax, right? Like, it goes through rapport building to uncovering their problem. You can do that in a non-spammy, salesy way by asking smart questions that you know uncover a common problem that your avatar has in the market. Mm. Like, you just know they have it. You know, it's just like if they're a startup, you know, owner, maybe they're in year two, you know that they're trying to hire people and retain people at the moment.
Yeah.
That the sales, the energy of that first year has kind of gone out of them now. Now reality's kicking in. You know, if I was a career, like a management coach or a sales coach or whatever, you know they're going to have those kind of issues. And same thing with the speakers and things like that, like going out to event planners and seminar planners and all anything related to that industry, you've got to think, what are their top three killer problems that they always suffer from? Like, anytime you've spoken to an event planner, what's the same thing about their speakers that they complain about over and over and over again? Well, why, you know, that's in the uncover part. You know, you get the rapport, you uncover and you ask them a problem that you know that you have a solution for. And then you're making assumptions like, oh, you must, a lot of my clients just like you, they had this issue last year, but we've been working on that and solved that. Are you working, 2019, is that your year to crack that? This is after you've got that rapport, by the way. And then it's like, oh, yeah, actually, we're trying to fix that. Yeah, I had a pretty good chance that they were going to say yes.
Yeah.
They say, no, we solved that last year as well. Then you can go to your second biggest problem that you know they're going to have. Third one, I rarely get to. Normally after the second one, they're like, yeah, that's we're suffering with that. Like, man, that was really, you know, it's a tough one to fix, but we cracked it on, you know, on a whole heap of our clients last year. And they're like, tell me about that. Hey, got a moment now. Let's go on a phone call. Let's do that. Yeah, cool. You know, but it's gone through rapport, uncovering the problem through great questioning, and don't try to sell inside LinkedIn. Take them off. That's when you take them off and you get into a proper discussion. But you can also size them up before you take them off. After you've uncovered that problem, you could be asking, so what, you know, what are you doing to fix that? If they're saying, oh, it's something where, yeah, we have that problem. Like, okay, what's been happening? Have you been putting any money into that? And then size them up as a fit. Like they might say, yeah, we just hired a guy yesterday. You're like, oh, awesome. Well, enjoy that.
Yeah.
You know, rather than getting them on a phone call and discovering that later. But you really can do the rapport, the uncover of the problem in the sense of having them self-identify that they have that problem. And then you can size them up as a potential fit for you in the sense of, are they suitable for you? Would they, you know, have they done anything to solve that or attempted to solve it? And, you know, that negates your attempt. And then you can choose to, you know, get them off into a call. And you should act, you should act quick. If you're not connecting with them within about 24 hours of that call, of that message, after 24 hours, 40 hours, the no-show rate will massively increase as well. And that's the thing. A lot of people, the thing that really annoyed me, when I talked about this a lot, about taking people off LinkedIn, people misunderstood what I was saying. And I had a lot of people recently, LinkedIn made a change where before, if someone was your first connection, you could download all the data off LinkedIn. So everyone who was your first connection, you could download them and you'd have their personal email. And then people would make custom audiences and advertise to them on Facebook, or they would put them into their MailChimp or Entreport and drive messages to them. And they thought, well, that's Tyrone's strategy. That's what he does when he's talking about off, taking him off LinkedIn. And I had all these people email me recently when LinkedIn made that change. Oh, how did that affect you then? I'm like, had zero effect because that's not what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. Why would I do that? The funny thing is, so many people, and there's a really famous growth hacker was recently booted off LinkedIn, being banned. His company was all suspended. They've got their accounts back, but he's been banned because that's what they were doing. Mass connections and mass downloading. Now, it's ridiculous because what people are forgetting is that when they're your connection in LinkedIn, if I send a message to them in LinkedIn, it is 100% delivered.
Yeah.
Right. It has 100% deliverable deliverability, unlike email, which still can be high, but sometimes it's not. And the second key thing, it's near 100% open rates. Right. If you're going with the right avatar, active avatar, blah, blah, they drop a message. Who doesn't look at their notification in LinkedIn? This is the first thing, even the most, you know, boring user and inept user of LinkedIn would go in and like, I've got a message, and they open it. Right, but that's the only fun thing about LinkedIn. The rest is boring as dirt.
Yeah.
So you've got 100% delivery, near 100% open rates. Why would you just strip LinkedIn? I just find it ridiculous. And that's a big issue that I see a lot of people stuff up, is that they try to form these connections so they can strip it. Then they put that person in an autoresponder email that opens up at 15 or 20%.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, you can do that in, there's tools where, you know, if you play it safe and are not so stupid, you can actually send out messages to your first connections at, you know, a couple hundred a day without getting pinged. And if you have a core group of people that you are nurturing and you've built a relationship and you want to keep top of mind, do it inside LinkedIn. It's all there, because what are they going to do? They're going to go check your profile out. Like, who's sending me that again? Oh, Victor. Oh, right. I get it.
Yeah.
Right. But when they just get an email and see, like, you know, admin at Selling Made Social, blah, whoever that is, maybe I don't remember. Right. And same thing for your speakers. People are going to like, who's this person again? Yeah. Like, but you've got that platform sitting there. It's going to be delivered. They're going to open it. They can go look at your profile. Again, if you've structured it in a way that's better than 99% of other people, and we're talking about stats before the before we went live, but that is true. Like look at LinkedIn. It's all resumes. So you can really stand out. And the person's like seeing a great message. They've already engaged with you in the past, whether it worked out or not that they had that problem. And then you're nurturing that every, you know, every week or so, you're giving them actual value based on the problem that you uncovered. Then it's a whole different ball game. Then you're doing it right.
With all of this, I know people's heads are exploding now because they're like, man, I've been doing it not at all or terribly wrong. I mean, I see the LinkedIn timeline and, you know, putting out content and whatnot, and it's obviously not as, you know, the majority of people I see, you know, it's not a hugely refreshed timeline that you refresh and it's you know, like Facebook or Instagram, where you can just keep getting your dopamine hit every 5 to 10 minutes. When it comes to, and particularly with a lot of speakers who are hopefully now getting more and more confident, who are listening behind video, what is, you know, LinkedIn seems to have kind of doubled down recently on video. What's your thoughts on your energy towards creating content that you're posting organically versus, you know, all right, no, I'm putting my efforts into, you know, the outreach campaigns, the follow up, getting them off and nurturing that way?
You know, this is a good question, because I have found for the huge majority of my clients, you know, they're not marketers, right? They're just business owners, and some might be speakers and career coaches, and content creation is a really tough one, because on LinkedIn, it's a highly unpredictable activity to do. Like if I post a video on LinkedIn, I can't kind of guess with any certainty how many conversations I'm going to get in from that post. Maybe it's great for some awareness and yes, I'll get some inbound, but to be frank, I've rarely seen, and this was across my firm, across my experience, across my clients, hundreds of clients over the past, 7 to 12% of revenues come from the inbound.
Yep.
It has been from the strategic outreach. It has been from identifying ideal client avatars, tapping them on the shoulder, being presented as that kind of doctor frame where you're the expert, and getting into a conversation that is non-salesy, but more about, you know, taking them through that kind of syntax of discovery. So I think the video stuff is great if you, you know, and your audience are speakers, so they should be pretty good at producing a decent video for sure. Like I wouldn't stop with just that. I would recycle, repurpose the video. You know, I'd send it to Rev. I'd get a transcript of it done. I would convert that into an article. I'd convert it into 15 status updates as well. I'd then, you know, use it as a short post. And really get the most out of it on LinkedIn. I think where you can really benefit is going, thinking about your strategy, using those videos in the inbox.
Yeah.
Right. But getting smart with that as well, because that can be a bit freaky when someone suddenly pops in your inbox with a message. That wouldn't be the first thing I'd do. But if I was a confident speaker, like your audience, that's what I would be probably looking at in the nurturing sequence, is using more of that. I think you'll get more bang for your buck in the sense of getting more conversations, because at the end of the day, LinkedIn, the way the algorithm works, and this is from their engineering blog and they haven't updated it in a while, but basically all they do when you do a post, it is showing it to a small percentage of your first connections only. So if you've only got, you know, 400, 500 connections anyway, and you put your post up, it's getting shown to like 5 people. If those all 5 love it, like it, comment, then they chuck it up to the second where they will give it to, and this is their engineering blog, you can find it online, it goes, they then show it to more of your first connections. And then based on that, it actually then gets sent to a human for review. Would you believe that? They actually have human review.
Really?
Now, I don't know where these humans are sitting, but that's in their blog. They're saying that they have a review that gives it a kind of spam ranking. And then it moves it on to the greater second, third degree. And then usually these posts only last for about kind of 72 hours and then they kind of disappear. Now that's, you'll see some posts on LinkedIn and it was done a year ago and there's like 30,000 likes, but that's really, really rare.
Yeah, yeah. Compared to Facebook. It's the outlier.
Right. So most posts on LinkedIn, they're going to have a very short shelf life. They're going to be seen by a very few amount of people. Whereas I could send that to 500 of my first connections who are my ideal client avatars and pretty much guarantee that 500 are going to watch it.
Yeah.
It's like a duck on water. I find LinkedIn's like a duck on water. I find all my activity is it's the stuff that people can't see on the, I mean, I even had one LinkedIn coach reach out and say, well, I looked at some of your posts. I don't post much for my LinkedIn coaching. When I was running my business, I'd post more when I was dealing with advertisers and marketing people. And he's like, well, you know, you don't get much engagement. It's like, I'm not going for engagement. Yeah. You know, I'm going in the inbox and speaking to people directly every day. And that's how I've made my millions and millions of dollars off LinkedIn is by actually getting in there and not posting something up and like, oh, come to me, come to me.
It's so ridiculous when people have just ridiculous metrics that they measure. Oh, you're not getting much engagement on your posts. Who cares? Oh, you've only got 4,000 people who like your Facebook page. Who cares? I'm running ads and I'm building my mailing list and I'm having conversations and I'm getting people to a webinar. It's like, yeah, whoop-de-doo. You went and bought 100,000 people off, you know, Mechanical Turk or whatever it may be. And you've gone down this crappy road. It's like, yeah.
I hear it a lot. I see it a lot. One guy said, oh, you know, you should see 1% of your connections should like it. Otherwise that means that person has bought all these likes. And like, why would you? No, it doesn't mean that. Like, where'd you come up with that number? How? Like, come and audit my people. I don't care. Why would I buy people? I mean, it's ridiculous, the stupidity that I hear. And it really shows to me that they've come onto the scene as a coach in the space or LinkedIn as an opportunist. It's like, oh, I'm going to get into LinkedIn. Yeah. Rather than actually using it as a business owner, as a tool to build a business. You know, to come up with these weird metrics sometimes just amazes me. And, you know, I've just seen it over and over again where the money is made on LinkedIn has been through consistent strategic outreach to ideal client avatars that are active. That is as simple as that. Yeah. And this is why LinkedIn's tough, because it is rather manual. And it does require you to get in there and spend 40, 60 minutes a day. And if you have a workflow process and you keep yourself ordered and you're doing the right things at the right time, then you can get into discussions. But to think, well, I'm just going to post something up there and people are going to come to me, and it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, 100% agree. And I don't want to drown everyone with knowledge. I think that's there's more than enough actionable things for people to take a step back on their LinkedIn and go, hey, what does my profile look like? Have I got a resume or a LinkedIn version of a website out there? What am I doing with my outreach? Am I trying to move in to this first date's house, or am I trying to propose, or am I actually just taking it nice and chill and having a drink and a meal and going from there? Because I think if you can cover those three things, you're so far ahead of the game when it comes to the majority of people on LinkedIn. And regardless of what your success rate is now, it'll only improve. But saying that, if people want to improve further they've obviously see that you know your stuff when it comes to LinkedIn, where can they go and what can they do?
Yeah, so I've got a Facebook group, and you know, I advertise on Facebook as well, and I get the abuse from people saying, well, if LinkedIn worked, you wouldn't be advertising on Facebook. I'm like, dude, I'm advertising on Facebook because these people aren't using LinkedIn. So I have a group on Facebook. It's called LinkedIn Sales Funnels for Entrepreneurs. LinkedIn Sales Funnels for Entrepreneurs. So feel free to come into there. And then there's a masterclass that people can watch. It is a 45-minute presentation. There's no sale at the end, so keep your credit cards away. But it'll give you some shifts that you've really got to think about before you get in there and consider LinkedIn a tool for you. And then if people are interested, they can book a call via the group as well. And on our calls, what we like to do is really find out what's working in your business on LinkedIn, what's working with your sales funnel, what isn't working, where you want to go with it. And if it makes sense and we can help you get there, then we absolutely tell you so. And if we can't, I just tell you no. We're just not a match. And I send you on the way to a different kind of resource. One thing I'd like to say, and I don't like to bash my competition per se, even though I said some things about them today. Don't buy a LinkedIn course unless you are absolutely already confident that your ideal client avatars are there and they are active and they're in abundance. And what I mean by abundance, like there's a few thousand of them. Otherwise, you're going to find when you get to the end of that LinkedIn course that you bought off the shelf that, oh, my people aren't there. And wow, they don't respond and they're not active. So just don't buy anything until at least you go in there and do a little bit of research. And if you can't ask the person who's selling the course, like, hey, you know, I work with, in the space of chemical engineers. How many chemical engineers are there? How active are they in the US? Like, get a sense for it. Doesn't make sense for me to invest $2,000-$3,000 in the course that at the end, my people aren't there anyway, because I see it all the time. People buy it. There's a lot of companies out there selling a course. I don't have a buy button. There is no buy button anywhere for me. You have to be invited because it just ensures that you are only invited if we are confident that your targets are there and we can put a funnel in place to get them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just pointless. So don't go buying stuff unless you know your people are there or have been told and they can show you the numbers, because you can get the numbers from whoever's selling the course. Well, tell me about that. How many? So if you're listening, don't buy stuff unless you can really confirm that.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Look, I'm in Ty's LinkedIn group and it's ton of value in there. Like, I no doubt you've probably seen it. There's a lot of value just from this short conversation that we've had. But if you want the links to those, if you're driving, if you're walking and you haven't got a chance, I'll link all of those at publicspeakingblueprint.com. And I highly recommend joining his group. Ty, been an absolute pleasure having you on, and look forward to connecting with you back on LinkedIn and in your Facebook group, and watching you continue to flourish and help a lot of people.
Thanks, Victor. I love what you're doing as well. Awesome stuff.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.